Right now, though, we are joined by a couple of special guests. First of all, Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. You know her very well. Welcome.
Thank you, and go Hokies.
And go Hokies, what?
I'm a Hokie.
That's fine.
When
that's
they're
fine.
Playing Wake Forest. Go
okay.
Hokies.
All right. And enjoying. Apparently, I can't complain because Kristen Smith outed me as a Duke fan a week ago.
Whoa,
so
oh,
yeah, I know, right? So
whoa.
I have to project onto
wow.
other people who are
no comment.
Who have other. I'm a Michigan State fan first
okay,
and foremost.
All right.
Anyway, joined by Chapel Hill Public Library Director Susan Brown and artist Eric Carlson. Thanks for joining us as well.
My pleasure. Thank
because
you.
Because there is a really cool digital art installation that we're in the process of developing and putting together. It's called Unbound, and the idea is to uncover and finally put on display the hidden library of Chapel Hill. So, Eric, talk about this project, how you got into it.
Well, it started with a call for submissions. I was part of a process where lots of artists from around the country submit proposals, and my proposal was chosen by the library in the town, and so I came up with a concept of it's called Unbound because I was looking at libraries as places that bind together material, books and CDs and DVDs and all these pieces of information so that they can be protected, but then also they're unbound and shared with the community. Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd do a similar thing with all the ephemera and mementos and photographs and films that people have in their own personal libraries at home. This is an opportunity for them to take those things and bring them in and make them part of the artwork. And the more stuff we get and the more people participate in the submissions, the better the art will be.
And it's really cool, partly to sort of put together, and we're calling it the Hidden Library, but it's sort of this document of the history of Chapel Hill. We're talking about ticket stubs and pictures and I think we mentioned older report cards and yeah. just sort of the cool memorabilia that just sort of put all together tells the history of this community and also just the idea of all of those things as works of art.
Exactly.
As well.
Yep.
And I want to backstep real quick because the whole project got started, that call for artists came from the town has a Percent for Art program, which is a really great program to have, which not all but many public projects that are done, capital projects, buildings that are built, whether they're town facilities or places like 140 West, when there's a development project, oftentimes a percentage, in this case it was 1% of the $16 million renovation and expansion of the library, was set aside for a work of public art. And it was a competitive process, I have to say. There were folks from the Art Commission, from the library, from council, from different town departments, from the art community. It was a national call, and we got something like 238 submissions.
Wow.
And you'll appreciate this, I think, Aaron, because I think we've talked about Clockwork Orange before. There's that scene in the movie where he has
yes.
his eyes taped open and he's got to watch all of these.
Right.
We had to watch like 8 slides and give each slide like 3.2 seconds. So it was like a 4-hour meeting.
How do you even begin to narrow it down? Because I imagine the vast majority of those are going to be really good submissions too.
There were some great ones. And so the team was the folks from the public art community brought their expertise. The library brought the sense of the library. There were folks from the town saying, we can't build that 40-foot art structure out there. So it was a great process, and we were so thrilled with Eric's because it really captured the idea of the community and the library. But we haven't talked about the form it's going to take yet. And
yes.
it's a very cool, again, we often have these moments, Aaron, where it's like, this is really great content for the radio. So I encourage you to go to the project site or come to the event tonight, but the form it's going to take, it's hard to explain, but we're going to try.
Yeah.
So folks that are familiar with the library, right across from the main service desk, there's 2 blank walls there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be 4 panels. I'm going to let Eric jump in and try and describe it.
So there's 4 horizontal panels, sort of landscape orientation, and each of those panels is going to hide a series of high-definition LCD monitors, video monitors. And those monitors are going to be constantly playing the content that we collect from the library. But the thing is, these monitors are covered over, so you can't see most of them. And you only get these glimpses into the images through these very cool optical lenses.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
almost like you're looking into I don't know what, like a
viewfinder.
Viewfinder, right, right.
So
you have to get come up very close to it, and these lenses are beautiful in and of themselves, but then they kind of reveal these.
And you've got it here, and it's this sort of this white panel with these sort of glass balls, basically,
yeah,
that you're looking through to see the picture on the other side.
Exactly,
right?
And the lenses, they magnify, and then they slightly distort the image as well. So you'll be able to come up close to it, and you know, you'll see a view to the image at first, and then as you move your head around and peer into different angles, you'll see it'll reveal different aspects of the image. And so these lenses are arranged across these horizontal surfaces, and the arrangement is based on Braille text. And one reason I chose that, it was sort of one of the pieces that came together in the concept. Braille is actually the first binary language that was invented, and a binary language is a language that uses sort of things being on and off, mm-hmm, to convey the information. And now with everything being digital, you know, digital is sort of ubiquitous. That's a binary language. It's zeros and ones. The zero is off, the one is on. So I thought it was very appropriate that as libraries are moving into, you know, a new phase where they're dealing with all this digital information and processing that and figuring out how they, you know, their new role, and it's an amazing new role in presenting this stuff to the public, I thought it was appropriate that Braille played a part in it, besides being very interesting visually. So
that's really cool.
And the Braille part's going to spell something, but Eric's not going to tell us what.
How many
it's
panels?
Like a
how many panels are
ring.
There going to be?
There, well, there are four panels.
Four panels.
Yep. I think there's 21 characters.
Okay.
And
so it's a 21 letter.
Yes.
Thing. Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to try and guess it.
Yeah,
Eric.
I'm going to.
Eric's going to be obsessed
when
about
I was in,
it.
I took a poetry writing class in. Every time I talk about binary, I think about it. I took a poetry writing class in college. It was the last class I ever took. I stuck around after graduation one May term to take this class. There was this one student. I was known for being the pretentious one. I wrote all these poems that had footnotes and sort of historical.
No.
I know, it's a
come
shock,
on.
Right? But there was one student who I'm not sure if he took it upon himself to top me, but certainly did. He wrote this poem called Obscenities in Binary. And it was just this, it was eight lines. It was this string of zeros and ones. And if you translated them,
right,
which of course I did. And nobody else did. They just looked at this poem and smiled and nodded and,
sure,
and pushed it aside. But I was like, I'm looking this up. So I went and looked it up, and they were all four-letter obscene words
in binary
code. But the last word was love.
Interesting.
It was like bleep, 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 love. I'm like, oh, that was so good. So, yeah. But 21 characters are going to be a bit harder. So,
again, it's kind of hard to picture it on the radio.
Yeah.
So go to our site. Go to the project site.
The project site is unboundartwork.org.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, again, part of what we loved about Eric's proposal was the community aspect of it, that the content comes from the community. Mm-hmm. And then, so the project is kicking off right now. Eric is here this week. Aaron's here every week. Eric is here this week. Eric lives in Rhode Island.
Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah. And then he'll be back again in April. So we'll have him here for 2 weeks. And then in between then, you can submit stuff on your own on the website. The library's digital media lab will be open every Thursday. So you can come and learn how to scan things or take photos or take your old Super 8 and digitize it. We're setting up a system where people can drop things off. There's a kickoff tonight from 6 till 8.
Yes.
And then what's great, I was going to have Eric talk a little bit this week. When he comes back in April, we're going to do some different programming. But this week, he's working with school kids.
Nice.
So he's visited a couple schools, and I was going to have him talk a bit about that.
I've done 3 sessions with elementary school art classes. So
awesome.
Far this week, Scroggs Elementary School and was it Northside?
Northside.
Mm-hmm. And they've been amazing. And the teachers are amazing. The students are amazing. So I'm going in there and explaining what the artwork is about, talking a little bit about what public art is and how it functions in the community, and then talking a lot about what the library does. And like I said before, about the binding and unbinding of things. And then the kids are creating drawings or artwork of their own of things that they feel are important about the community. Then I digitally photograph those, that those will become part of the artwork. And then also, you know, we're encouraging them to go home and get their parents and their siblings and their neighbors to submit as well.
And this is something for everyone. If you're out there, if you're listening, just anyone in the community at large, you don't have to be a Chapel Hill resident, you just anyone in the community that's got sort of memories and mementos of Chapel Hill, if you've got sort of photographs of them or the hard items them itself, right? You can bring in, and they can be digitally scanned and added to this work
and
of art.
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, it doesn't just have to say Chapel Hill. It can also say you as you exist in Chapel Hill.
Right.
So one thing that Eric has said when he's talked to groups is it could be your grandmother's chocolate cake recipe.
Right.
And if you can, scan the old index card.
Right. Yeah. If you have this handwritten recipe that's been passed down, you know, don't type it out and email it to me as a typed out text file. Take a photograph of that
recipe
card.
Yeah. You want the actual piece of memorabilia.
It's primarily a visually based artwork.
Right.
So
if you've still got an old, you know, Sutton's menu with a chili dog stain on it, right? Then, you know,
we're going to be testing.
You're now just dreaming about chili dogs. I hear you over there going, chili dog. It's like a Homer Simpson thing.
If you're adding chili dog stains after the fact, no, we want chili dog stains from 1974. Specifically,
but really,
want those Watergate chili dog
stains. I think it's, you know, we've had conversations about, like, if it's a Chapel Hill artwork, what does it have to have? You know, it's got to have basketball. It's got to have Franklin Street. But there's also things that we haven't even thought of.
This is just like people who are driving in a convertible down Franklin Street in the 1960s and a photograph of that, and there's no indication of what street it is necessarily, but that's the history of Chapel Hill.
Exactly,
right?
And that's why in some ways the the publicity we're doing for the submission, we're calling it Chapel Hill's Hidden Library, it's in your attic is sort of the tag phrase. You know, it's maybe it's some photos of your family, maybe your family moved here from the Middle East, maybe your family moved here from Asia or somewhere, and you're the first generation here, you can submit pictures of your family from where they came from, because that's part of the history now.
Yeah. You know, and it could be dating back 60 years, 30 years, 20 years, 5 minutes ago.
Right.
It's all part of the history. Right. So speaking with Eric Carlson, who's the artist down from Providence, Rhode Island, how did you find out about this project in the first place?
Well, I do public art installations full time.
Okay.
And I travel all around the country, applying for submissions and completing them. So I have a network of places I look for calls that are out for opportunities. And then
secret network of spies and informants.
Exactly.
Letting you know about it. And Susan
Brown. They communicate
Brown,
in Braille.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, very nice. Which is hard to do over email, and yet. And Susan Brown, the director of the library. The event's tonight from 6 to 8. That's a kickoff event. What's that going to entail?
It's very casual. Mm-hmm. It's a drop-by anytime from 6 till 8. You can meet Eric. Ryan Chamberlain from our digital media lab is going to have a little mobile scanning station set up. So if you want to bring some stuff, if you happen to be in the library and you hear about it, you could go grab your favorite book and bring a page from that and scan that. We'll also have images from the project. We'll have posters to give out and postcards so folks can engage others. Snacks. Oh, we'll try and get this up on the site soon. He actually set up a prototype of this thing in his studios, and he made a film of it. And once you see that, like, I've only seen the renderings and the stills and talked about it, and he showed that at our staff meeting at the library this morning, and I was just like, ooh, it's pretty. And even that one's just got, images of, an old yearbook or something
in it? Yeah, it's like a Chapel Hill High School 1952 yearbook that I found online.
That's awesome.
So,
and then what's the time frame on when this project will be done?
We're loosely saying that sort of at the open period for submitting things is up till May 1st. But really, people just submit whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Eventually, there'll be a cutoff date. I need some time at the end to process the stuff. We're hoping to install it in the early summer at the library. So,
That'll be worth checking out when it's done. And come to the event tonight from 6 to 8 at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Any old time, just drop by.
And any old time, right. Head to the library, check out their website, unboundartwork.org, if you want to learn more about the project and get involved in this, too.
One thing I wanted to say, if you go to that website, it gives a little more information about the type of materials we're looking for. And again, it's very open. There's a page that describes how to submit files, what kind of files, digital files to submit. And there's some information about how you can use your digital camera to take pictures of your old photos or whatever. So it can be very easily done.
I'm just saying, you got to talk to Ron Stutz, because he's got an office back there with just nothing but Chapel Hill memorabilia.
Really?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the radio, if this is one of his secrets. Oh, yeah.
I brought my camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I think Eric has also said that he's also looking for videos.
Yeah, videos would be great.
It doesn't just have to be still stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what are you going to submit, Aaron?
I haven't thought about it yet. I was thinking about going back and raiding Ron Stutz's office and bringing in something really cool and passing it an office of my own, but we'll have to see.
How about that poem you wrote?
Yeah, there we go.
Well, I wasn't the one who wrote the obscenities and binary poem.
That's
I'll
okay.
I have to find one that I did write. Susan Brown, Eric Carlson, thank you so much for joining us. And again, if you're listening out there, you've got your memorabilia, bring it on into the library and have it be part of this really cool artwork. And come on out to the meeting tonight from 6 to 8. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.